This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard, given on the 8th of August, 1963. The title of this lecture is R2H Assessment. This tape is 80 minutes long, reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Thank you. This is the what? The 8th of August, A.D. 13. The figure 8 is a symbol of money. Actually, its original derivation was two money bags, one sitting on the other. And when Pythagoras came back, why, he gave us this datum, and here we are in Greece at the apex of the newest and the best, numerology. Oh, it's the wrong lecture hall. You have to laugh when you consider what man has considered knowledge to be at periods in the past. All right, here we are, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. And today, I have some good news for you. And this is the evolution of List 1 for R2H. I'm going to show you how you can evolve a List 1. No matter if you have landed in the middle of Pango Pango or something of the sort, and you don't have a textbook to your name, you can evolve List 1. Now, this has really taken some doing. I don't mean to exaggerate. It'd be impossible to exaggerate the difficulties which have been connected with this. R2H is a process with, as I told you yesterday in yesterday's lecture, a process with a new rationale. There's a new rationale connected with that process. This actually is the level 2 process, case level 2. And R2H really goes into both channels, but isn't just headed at OT. This gives you your clear way stop, because you can move up this process, and sooner or later you're going to start seeing free needles, and that kind of phenomena is very likely to occur in running this particular process. Not necessarily with every case. Some cases are going to run so head on into a GPM that you're going to have to shift to 3N in order to carry out that particular GPM, and then shift back to 2H, just as you can shift from R3R over to 3N and back again. Well, given the fact that you could shift over to 3N and back to R2H, you're dealing now with a case level 1 process. This will boot them all the way on up the line. But if you are dealing with a just your normal course of human events, and just avoid any ideas of GPMs. Don't bother with trying to clear up track in that particular direction. Undoubtedly, the PC will come back off the track, and you'll start getting key out phenomena. You see how that process might very well theoretically branch. In other words, you keep on running the process itself, you eventually make a track that looks pretty straight and pretty clean and gives you an apparency of case level 2, which is clear, see? And that would be with the benefit of key out and free needle, and you probably find the phenomena, and this is probably, because you understand this has not been done by this process, but we have done so many of these that it's pretty easy to predict on a process line. And you would get a phenomenon which looked very like, this is just pure R2H, see, you get a phenomenon that looked very like a case level 2. However, it's a keyed out case level 2. The person's whole track really isn't available to them. But it would give you all the attributes of clear, and by all of its definitions. All right, now if you introduce into it the factor that when you collide with a GPM, you're going to shift over into 3N, then you've got one that goes to case level 1. In other words, you could take R2H, combine it with 3N when necessary, and wind up at case level 1. You understand? This process has this branch fork in the roads. Now, therefore, it unexpectedly joins up with what we're calling now, and you aren't really haven't started calling it yet, but Scientology 3. Scientology 3 was more or less suspended in favor of Scientology 4, the levels of Scientology. There's been a recent policy letter out which divided Scientology up into 5 levels. And there was Scientology 1, that's for the public, that's your PE level Scientology, and we're putting out a plea to one and all to please contribute any data they think is vital and necessary to be in this. And then there's Scientology 2, which is healing, which we haven't had too much to do with. That's care of the body and so forth. And then there's an HPAHCA levels probably get quite a bit of Scientology 2. And then there's Scientology 3, and that's advanced auditing, advanced academy courses, that sort of thing, leading up to the area of clear, such phenomena as we've had in the past. Now that, it doesn't happen to be a well-wrapped up area, because we jumped off of that area to go into Scientology 4, and this occasioned even some of you quite a few headaches, because there was a necessary speed up in research, and the place to research toward, of course, was OT. Now that's Scientology 4, and the material which you're learning right now is Scientology 4. And then there's Scientology 5, and Scientology 5 is the social, political, organizational levels of Scientology. This is a takeoff from the level of OT. And that isn't just Scientology applied to political problems. That would be a misnomer, although it would read like that in the textbook, and so forth. That isn't that at all. It's actually, what does an OT do about it? That makes quite a different subject, doesn't it? So anyway, it is of interest to have picked up some of the earlier work at Scientology 3 and carried it forward to something of a conclusion. Now, you're not really interested in routine 2H, and it probably ought to be redesignated. You're probably not interested in routine 2H, which is, by the way, also applicable at Scientology 2, don't you see? Some other version of it, much easier to do, something like that. You're interested as R2H applies to Scientology 4, which is OT. I want to point out to you, and this is just a side note here, that these things fit with classifications as they exist today. See, so you have a class 1 auditor. He can listen. And you have a class 2. Well, he could probably cure something up and run repetitive processes and, you know, CCH or something like this, reach and withdraw. You have Scientology 3 type auditor. Well, he could make a better human being. That's the level of the better human being. Scientology 4, class 4 auditor, you're heading for OT. And 5, we're heading for sane universe. So this compares with your classifications, and I think you will find that it's very neat to have the subject organized like this. For instance, you can slap onto the covers of textbooks, one right after the other, you can Scientology 1. Perfectly safe issue for general public, don't you think? And, for instance, we have a newspaper reporter prowling around right now, and we're feeding him Scientology 1, which, of course, is about all he should have anything to do with. And he doesn't know even what he's looking at right now. He thinks he came down here to investigate our marriages. Crazy, you know. But anyway, He's got a copy of Reg's book, and he probably looked at his title, I hope. And he probably reads something of that. We're getting this thing in some kind of order, however. We're getting this thing squared away one way or the other. He's looking for sensationalism, so we'll give him sensationalism at level one. Do you see, it brings a little more order to the subject instead of just it's all spattered out across these lines where we can subdivide it into its materials. And this only becomes possible because we are reaching up at a high level of attainment in each one of these levels. We have quite a bit of accomplishment in the lower levels, and we need codifications and publications, and in republishing and codifying and that sort of thing, we need designations. Now, it's very baffling for you to have a process which moves on up through more than one of these levels, which attains different things at different levels, and so on. And it is phenomenal to have such a process at all. It moves around. It handles the thing called an ARC break. Well, there are many ways you could handle the thing called an ARC break. There are probably many versions of processes which you could handle ARC breaks with. So you'll probably see this material splintering off into these various levels. ARC, just the explanation of what ARC is level one, you see. Perhaps specific and directed ARCs at various body parts and that sort of thing. And perhaps OW and that sort of thing would constitute healing applications of ARC. And at clear level, of course, you're trying to raise somebody's ARC. You can do some remarkable things with picking up their ARC breaks in this lifetime. It'd be quite phenomenal to do that. Well, ARC has been with us for quite a while, and to push demands of ARC this high, the theory of ARC, the triangle of affinity, reality, and communication, to push that much stress onto it and say, all right, let's try to push this into Scientology 4 OT. Well, that's really asking for a few blown gaskets, because it's obvious that if this much stress is put on the theory of ARC, then any slightest frailty in any scale is going to show up. In other words, you're really going to have the stuff there. We haven't been asking very much of this, but now we're asking everything of this. And boy, some of our, not very much of it, fortunately, but there were some holes. There were some holes in what we knew of ARC. It was, you might say, insufficiently embracive or insufficiently complete to do a totality of work. It's all right to run a machine, let us say. You can run a machine just fine, and it gets along fine, and then you put more load on it, you see, and it starts to heat up a little bit, and its life seems to shorten and that sort of thing. And you put a little bit more load on it, then any bad connection or any bit of weak metal in it is going to go spling. You see? And that's approximately what's happened to ARC and the CDEI scale. Now, those two things together needed an overhaul. And I've been overhauling these things empirically. Now, R2H has only one frailty, and that is the list you use for the assessment. It's the only frailty it has. Given an auditor who will listen, given a meter that will react, given any kind of decent goodwill in the auditing session at all, well, the machine is pretty tolerant in those parts. You see, that the R2A, it'll work just fine. I mean, you can even flub it and mess it up here and there and make mistakes with it, and it doesn't break down. No, the point where it just breaks down absolutely with a crash. It'd be a wrong assessment list. And if that assessment list, it could have a lot of things that weren't necessary on it, but if it lacked one single ingredient, then the bypass charge on the case would not be located, and you would succeed in re-stimulating the case at certain levels, and the case would eventually move up to a stuck tone arm because the charge would be wrongly placed and insisted here and there, and the track wouldn't straighten out. You see the liability of this. In other words, you could miss the charge on one ARC brake or another ARC brake without making the case crash. That's one or another ARC brake. But if one specific, very important type of charge was missing from the list on all ARC brakes, eventually that charge would overwhelm the PC. And you'd result in a good high stuck tone arm and an ARC broke PC and so forth. In other words, the limit of this particular process would be the embraciveness of the list which was used. So there is the weak point of this process, the list. So I had to sweat and fume and fuss and fiddle and overhaul and try it again. And I've had some of the fanciest systems, you know. These things would make a whole psychotherapy up at London University or wherever they teach this stuff here in England. They would, you know. It'd just be marvelous. Whole new systems of interlockings and all of this kind of thing. Beautiful. The logic in them, impeccable. But they didn't work. That was all that was wrong with them. Like modern psychiatry. It's terribly convincing, but doesn't work. Now, that list, with its liability of bogging a case down if an important type of charge is missing. You understand that you can miss the charge on an ARC brake and then get the next one well, and then miss the real charge on the next ARC brake and get the next two well, you see, and you don't ruin anybody, you see. But if consistently that type of charge is missing on that list, sooner or later your PC has had it. So what is the totality of the list? What formula is it that makes this list a completely embracive list? Well, you'll laugh when I eventually show you this thing, because it's always these simple things. It seems like anybody can discover anything that's complicated. I mean, that seems to be very easy. They go out and they discover the plutons running into the neurons and these fantastic chemical formulas that run on for 8 pages and give you better lipstick. It's these simple things. It's these simple things wherein lies the genius of the situation. They're the ones that you can just take and knock your head off on. And you come back to it, what makes a good auditor an auditor? And we've eventually broken it back to 5 points. And they're all fundamental points. And where you don't get auditing done in some HGC or something like that, where you're supervising auditing, you watch it. You go back over those points and you find out there's one or two of them. It is madly out. Not even slightly. They're just madly out. But the reduction of auditing to just 5 basics is pretty wild. Now, the breakdown of a communication cycle and the breakdown of the auditing cycle and that sort of thing, these things are terribly simple. But it takes some discovery like this. It's a line. I'm sure you sat there when you saw this it's a line. And you said, yeah, of course, you know, simple. Well, frankly, when you discover these things, you feel like a complete idiot. Very self-invalidating, you know. It's like you've been running into this rock all the time and you finally come back and take a look at it. You say, hey, it's a rock, you know, and you've never noticed it. Nobody else has noticed it. There it's been. These are the discoveries that are something. And it's this type of discovery that finally wrapped up this other list. So it's a springs and grams, you know, bang, bang, bang. Now, you could put any kind of significance you ever heard of, and you might still miss it on this list, so I better give you the formula of derivation. This is a derivation formula. I'm going to give you the full derivation formula. I'm not going to give you any little shorthanding of it. You, by the way, don't use this full formula in making up list one. But I can show you a very trick system by which you could employ it without assessing forever. See? Now, it works like this. The CDEI scale has an upper and a lower band. And it was on this band that we all fell down. Now, here's your CDEI scale. Curiosity, desire, enforce, inhibit. You're very well aware of the CDEI scale. But that's only a piece of the scale. Now, we only needed that piece to do everything we've been doing up to this time. And the missingness of the remainder of the scale was not something that destroyed empires. But when we run into something like R2H and ARC breaks, if we haven't got the whole scale here, we're in trouble. Well, what is the whole scale here? K, U, know, or known, and unknown. Well, look, let's look it over. Let's look it over. What about that know? Well, know is already, you had to postulate you didn't know up above it, but that isn't unknown yet. See, the not know goes up above this. The basic four postulate stuff is already in this stuff, and we don't happen to need that because that simply measures case gain. This we do need. Known, unknown. Why does that fit in? How come? It's elementary, my dear Watson. You never get curious about something you know about. I mean, it says damn fool idiot things, ain't it? So knowingness must have disintegrated because we know as a case progresses, its knowingness rises. So as the case progresses, its knowingness rises, and therefore we must be running out unknownnesses. And this tells us that things have to be unknown before you enter into the CDEI scale at all. That gets to be very interesting. You'll find out a very, very interesting part of ARC breaks is the unknownness. You know, the unknown datum, we've even got it in our early logics. An unknown can cause a confusion. And so forth. And there's obviously where that belongs. So that's part of your CDEI scale, oddly enough, which is a scale of the way one looks at things. But that isn't the complete scale. I'm sorry to have to get into this thing any further. But what's that? There's nothing. Nothing. That belongs on the CDEI scale, believe it or not. Nothing. It's neither known nor unknown. There's nothing there to inhibit, enforce, desire, to be curious about, to be unknown or to be known. There just isn't anything there. And that is pretty obvious too, isn't it? In fact, it's an idiotic obviousness. It's just an absence. That's all. You haven't got something now to inhibit. That's the Black Panther mechanism, and you feel more idiotic about this thing appearing on this thing when you realize that it's in book one. It's the Black Panther mechanism. Ignore it. Do nothing about it. It's just a no-action level. pretty grisly. It doesn't mean no ARC. We're not into ARC yet. This is just, you can inhibit things. Well, how about just doing nothing about them? There's nothing. Well, of course, that's one of these of course mechanisms, because man routinely does nothing about things. That is one of his best mechanisms. In fact, no government on earth could be the way it is if they didn't specialize in this one. Do nothing about it. Until it's too late or something of the sort, which is, again, just doing nothing about it. All right, well, that's fine, but is there anything else on this scale? Well, unfortunately, this is the one, man. This is the one that broke the camel's back. This is the one. We've talked about it. We know it exists. We've had it around. I mean, everybody knows about it. We know all about it, and so we've never defined it. But the basic part of this one was designating it, finding some word that designated it, that would communicate. It would communicate. And it's F, falsify. And after you do nothing about it, there's nothing there you can falsify. You're not inhibiting something, you can falsify it. You're not doing nothing about it, you're falsifying it. But of course, that puts something else there. So it tends to turn the whole scale up here again in an inversion. See, after you've gone down this whole scale, how do you start it all over again? Well, your K at the top, known, becomes false. And then, of course, you don't know about falseness, and then, of course, you're curious about, the falsifications, and so forth. And this scale then turns round and round on that basis. But it's just the same scale now. It now hits level after level after level after level all the way down by just running this one point. So that's what makes the scale invert. So it's a probability in this universe that you almost never see the K. The whole scale probably lies below F. That part of the ARC scale, then, which most people are working with, and so forth, are below F. So you see, as you go down scale, it requires all of those primary designations to bring about lower harmonics. You see what I mean here? Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example of a tremendously involved scale. K, we'll do this very small. K, U, C, D, E, I, O, F, U, C, D, E, I, O, F, U. See this? See what's happening here? See, there's your whole scale. Got it? It goes on south. Perversions of perversions. Falsifications of falsifications, don't you see? You finally get modern science. You go far enough south. All based on a false premise that man is mud. You see something like that, and then you can go all the way. You get this now. Well, that's how that thing inverts. So, there is it. Top K, U, C, D, E, I, O, F. Zero F. It's not a no, it's a zero. Probably better be spelled with a Z. And that is a complete band. And it takes each one of those levels to make a complete band. And as long as we only had the CDEI scale, this was very pure and very upscale, but we couldn't deal with aberration. We We couldn't deal with a raw aberration of an n-gram because we didn't have enough lower inversions, because the scale wasn't complete, so we couldn't invert it. There were more things in each band than we had, and the things that were missing was known unknown at the top, and down at the bottom, zero and false. And there we have a total cycle, you might say, of the scale. Now, I can assure you, that cycle can turn over again. Instead of known now, you have false, so it goes down to an unknown falseness, you see? You're curious about falseness, the desire of falseness, the enforcement of falseness, you see? And then you get down the inhibition of falseness, and then no falseness. And then you get a falseness about falseness. You see that? And you just keep on adding this up, and you will get more and more and more and more involved lower levels. I see you're sitting there a bit stunned. Now, what don't you dig out of this? What do you see there that you don't understand? Seems to me to be perfectly obvious. You're looking, by the way, at only one band when you look at the full scale like that. You're looking at only one band of the old tone scale. That's shown up. You can take Science of Survival, the old tone scale, one kind or another. And let's take one band. Let's drop down just one band. Let's go from one to two. Let's just take a look at that. Let's say two to one. And you're going to find all those levels between two and one. And they'll be at some harmonic or another of the upper levels. Now, where a pure scale, call it the CDI scale, just for lack of a better term at this particular time, is so unimaginably high, it was probably never envisioned. It's terrifically high. Most of the scales that we see and so forth are already with falseness at knowingness. It's a false of false of false of false. Look what they teach you in school. George Washington never cut down any cherry trees because he was an Englishman and they are orchard men or something. You wait. You just see that legend go along far enough, and it will become long, see, and it'll go down another one, see. Very interesting. So all truth or actions or data or almost anything else goes down this CDEI scale in that fashion. Known, unknown, curious, desire, enforce, inhibit, do nothing, falsify. You see that now? All right. Here we have our old friends, A, R, and C. Nothing to this. Here you have ARC for the incident. And here you have, that's for the incident itself. Now we're getting into R2H. And then we have earlier incident. Got it? And we have A, R, and C for the earlier incident. We've got it for the incident we're working with, and we've got it for an earlier incident. See? And you just do this. And each one of those levels has six. We have them for the incident, we have them for the earlier incident. Got that? And then just for fun, in case they didn't get the word and so forth, we put on each one we put, this is for the purposes of really, really getting the things scattered into sight, we put a missed withhold. And over here, of course, it's an earlier missed withhold. That's your list one. Let you digest that for a minute. That's list one. Now that's actually all possible levels that will have any reaction on anybody about anything. That's an ARC break laid out, man. Each one, known, unknown, curious, desire, enforce, inhibit, do nothing, falsify. Each one of those levels has eight questions. Each one of those levels has eight questions. And those eight questions are the incident, attitude, communication, reality. See the attitude, reality, communication, and the missed withhold. And then is there an earlier incident with a bypass charge of the attitude, the reality, and the communication, and the missed withhold, see? Put the missed withhold in there just for kicks. You'll find out it's a bucket load of stuff. Now, that's a full list. Now, you can add that up mathematically. There are eight questions. And count them up. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are eight questions for each level. And there are eight levels. And that was chimes into my gag about the figure eight, getting an electron. And you have 8 times 8, and that gives you 64 questions. And that's all the questions they is. That's a total list one. It consists of 64 separate questions. Do you see how to evolve this? I'm teaching you how to evolve it. I'm not trying to give you a list. There's somebody sitting back there saying, well, he's going to give us the list a moment, and so on. That isn't what I'm going to teach you. I'm teaching you how to evolve this thing. I'm assuming that you're on Pango Pango. You have collided one way or the other with the wrong asteroid or something, and you're trying to put Scientology back together again and run some R2H on somebody. And there you go. How do you put a list one together? There is your list one. Very important thing. 64 questions. Actually, at this stage of the game, don't care what you do with the 64 questions. You see? It's just there is the totality of all possible combinations of an ARC break charge. That's all the charge there can be on an ARC break. Now, you can dream up a whole bunch of additional ones. Oh, you can dream up additional ones madly. I don't care if you do. Maybe some of them will communicate, maybe some of them won't. But they will actually come back to this one. And they will not be central charges that really are bypass charges to amount to anything. Now, this list with its 64 questions gives you very interesting application possibilities. So that you don't have to assess 64 questions. Well, let's assess the CDEI scale first on the incident, and then take the biggest read on that, and then move that sideways onto its 8 questions. So that leaves you with a totality for assessment of 8 and 8, 16 questions. I'm showing the trick systems by which you can break this thing down. In other words, you figure out some communicating name, see, for each one of these things. Well, for instance, in force, you put too much. Right now, you're using the inhibit scale all the time, an attitude refused, you see, communication ignored. That's really your inhibit scale. And unknown this and an unknown that and so forth. But you can say, was there something known about the incident? Was something unknown about the incident? Was there some curiosity about the incident? Was some desire in the incident? Was there an enforcement in the incident? Was there an inhibition in the incident? Or you can enforcement, you say too much something in the incident. Was it a nothingness that upset you in the incident? Or was it something that was falsified? Now, one of those things bangs, and you've then got your standard scale, which, of course, you could put it on separate little cards. And it's written up, specially worded, for the level it comes from. See? Did that incident have an unknown attitude? Did it have an unknown reality? Was there an unknown communication? In that incident, was there a restimulation of an earlier unknown attitude? Restimulation of an earlier unknown reality? Restimulation of an earlier unknown communication? Stimulation of earlier missed withhold, of course. Missed withhold questions are always the same. Not an unknown missed withhold, see. It's just, was there a missed withhold? Now, that'd be quite a remarkable system. And you find that system would work. That system would work very well. But it doesn't happen to be a vital system to what you're doing. It isn't vital that you do the system that way. Because a whole bunch of these levels are null. That's interesting. They don't have significant charge on them. And under the heading of significant charge, you can cross off K, U, C, D, E, leaving you with I. You can cross off 0 and F. You can leave F. Now, if you're just going to do a short list that'll serve you in good stead, then the only thing you're really going to leave on the list to amount to anything at all is I and F. Those are the most pregnant sources of ARC breaks. They upset people. Which gives you a 16-question list. I'm showing you different ways by which you can handle this situation. Yeah, I'm not giving you that as a recommended action. I'm just giving you different ways by which you can put together the same scale thing. You can find out, and that's the truth, you'll find out that for this lifetime, certainly, I and F, they cause nearly all of your bypass charge. Because of the case level you're dealing with, don't you see? And it's monitored by other factors. That leaves you here with I and F and nothing else that's going to worry your PC, at least in the beginning stages. Then after a little while, you're going to find your list starts falling short. There's something going on here now. List starts falling short and so forth. And you find out that you have to add too much. Too much attitude. Too much communication. Too much reality. Too real. And you can expand it right back on out again, and you start processing somebody around case level 2 that has actually attained case level 2, you're going to find yourself with a greatly fanned out list. Greatly fanned out. I'm just showing you there are various ways by which you can put this thing together. Now, you can probably scratch your head and get into it and develop yourself quite a fancy system of identifying the type of charge and assessing that particular type of charge. The only thing I'm trying to put to you is the fact that if you've got something missing on list one, you've had it. Because that tone arm eventually going to go up and stick. And I don't say yet that somebody three-quarters of the way up the line isn't all of a sudden going to run into a type of charge which isn't there in his estimation. And as you go on down the line, of course, the lower a case is, the more complex the case tends to be. And so you're going to have to probably include emotion instead of just attitude. That probably have to be on your scale. Now, the only thing that varies the scale, however, this is your basic and fundamental scale. The only thing that varies the scale is the communication of it to the PC. This particular PC at his particular state of case. You say, was there a false communication? The PC is very odd indeed. Very low scale or very high scale. He may only interpret this as a lie. A lying communication. He immediately interprets it over. But it's good enough, ordinarily. False communication. A false reality. A false attitude. If you don't think false attitudes aren't in the keeping, the most popular textbook on the handling of your fellow human being is Dale Carnegie. And that's a full textbook on how to create and maintain false attitudes and realities. Psychology actually hasn't even come up to being able to maintain a false one. That gives you how the prevalent popularity of some things, and gives you this. Look at the newspapers people read. You don't think there's very much true in a newspaper, and so forth, and yet newspapers sell a lot of copies. Well, so where must they be on the ARC scale? Where must they be? False attitudes, false realities, false communications. But how false? Newspaper goes even falser than false. The newspaper takes a false scientific fact and then falsifies it. And that's why I drew you that other picture there, so you could show the harmonics that thing goes down on. You can get into the falsification of the falsification of the falsification. It's like trying to handle some of these trillions ten that you run up on some cases. I don't know how we're going to handle that. That's one of our big problems. PC sitting there trying to count the number of trillions you're saying so he knows whether or not it's the right date, you know. You start holding your hand up so that it's trillions five, but look, you only got five fingers, you need the other one for the e-meter. Now there's your full scale. There's your full scale. There isn't anything more, really, that can cause an ARC break, because this is the full laydown of life. The communication of this to the PC may cause you to make some ramifications of it, but you can abstract these ramifications from this scale. So you got a new CDEI scale, which had to be expanded for its usability. Now, that's empirical. It doesn't necessarily fit in with anything. It's just what is there. What is there that is significant to a case. And that's known, unknown, curious about, desire, force, inhibit, do nothing about, and falsify. Now, there's some question as to whether it ought to be zero and then F, you see, or F and then zero, because you say, well, even a lie is some communication. I think you're splitting hairs, because you'll find ordinarily that a falsification is worse than no communication. Ordinarily. Now, plotting that sideways, remember that your basic scale on all of your list ones consists of affinity, reality, and communication, and a missed withhold for the incident. And then for earlier, not even earlier incident, or just earlier, restimulation of an earlier attitude, reality, communication, missed withhold. See, that's an earlier missed withhold. And that missed withhold would actually only have to occur if your big scale is out. It reduces the number of questions slightly, because you're simply repeating the thing if you break this down into separate cards. And that's there because if you break it down into separate cards, for God's sakes, don't omit the missed withhold, because this is a peculiar communication of the same thing. See, it's a didn't communicate, you know. And also could falsify a reality and also change an attitude completely, don't you see? But it's a peculiar little mechanism. It's asking, in essence, was there a bypass charge? But it speaks normally. Was there something you didn't say or something which you were consciously withholding? Now, if you went and expanded this out and out and out and out and out, you would get yourself into trouble. If you say you're going to put a missed withhold on there, then why don't you put an overt? Well, you don't put an overt because it mushes engrams. You start running OW in the middle of an engram, and you can get the PC in more energy soup than you've gotten him in for some time. There are too many GPMs, and there's too many this, too many that. And the effect of the bank is that if you run the 18 buttons of a prep check or the handful of buttons of that we constitute now the big midroods, or even the old little midroods, about and into an engram, specifically, you see, that thing will mush, it'll fold up, and you won't have a picture. See? And overt and the big midroods particularly run directly against an engram, can cause that engram to fold up into so much oatmeal. The energy structure of it breaks down, and it no longer is able to hold its constituency, and who can tell what's in it? So you don't do those things against engrams or secondaries. You say, in that ARC break, has anything been suppressed? Well, you might get away with that one, you see. In that ARC break, is there anything you're careful of? Fail revealed perfectly, all right. In that ARC break, has anything been invalidated? In that ARC break, has anything been suggested? Oh. PC would be going. What's happened? Because, frankly, you're using 18-inch naval cannon to shoot rabbits. The buttons are just too fundamental. They're just too powerful. It did too far too good a job in designing the big midroods and isolating those buttons. You could never say, on the reactive mind, has anything been... Apparently it takes just so much aberration to hold the picture together so you can run it. Anyway, they go back too early. They're too powerful. But these buttons, they don't do anything to the picture but strip off and disconnect the charge and realign the thing. It's a very smooth operation indeed, the way this happens. You're essentially, in R2H, trying to make somebody's pictures better. That's what I'm trying to call to your attention. So therefore, if you run a... It's all right to say, since the last time I audited, you know, big midroots, in this session, big midroots. Don't worry too much about that. But on that ARC break, big midroots... Oh, no. In other words, you can run against the physical universe in its near-up environment. Right now, you can run all the big mid-routes you want to. On that plank, see, has anything been suppressed? This is the same thing as since the last time I audited you, has anything been suppressed? Still got the whole physical universe around you, and you're not going to get this PC to knock the physical universe apart by running the big mid-route buttons at this state of his case. Probably gets a point in his processing as you get up the line where you'll no longer be able to do this safely. In this auditing room, has anything been suppressed? Creak. Goes. Now, the point I'm stressing here is that the list has another importance rather than its significance, is we don't want the list to be too beefed up. See, the list, instead of missing some levels, could use some buttons we know about in Scientology that would be totally destructive of the goals of R2H. Boom! See? This guy all of a sudden is covered with white energy or something of the sort and mushing engrams and everything is getting and so on. So there are things you don't want on the list. It isn't really all right to just anything you dream up put on the list, see? You can go quite a ways. I've tested out nearly all of these various variations of the thing, and they're actually not necessary. Was anything misunderstood? Well, that's covered, of course, in your unknown level. Was any earlier misunderstanding and that sort of thing? You know, I've had those on lists, and I've never seen them significantly be the cause of bypass charge. You'd think no communication would be terribly important. Well, it isn't terribly important until you start walking up into engrams. The guy was in jail for 1,000,000 years. What caused the ARC break? There was no communication. Shortly after he was locked up, they had a war and he got killed. The jailer got killed and they forgot to shut the power off and forgot to let him out. ARC break, no communication. You'll find that this steeps up the line. But frankly, in usual running of cases and so forth, you'll find you won't need it. Now, this is the woof and the warp of how you put together a list one. This is the formula by which you put together a list one. This doesn't necessarily give you a list one that you promptly and instantly should sit down and audit your PC with madly. There are too many ways you can put this thing together. Now, the pre-assessment of list one probably itself could be done with a shortened number of CDEI points. Just take out those that ordinarily wouldn't fall and leave about four in. See? Leave about four in. And pre-assess. Was that ARC break caused by an unknown? Was it caused by too much of something? Was it caused by too little? Or was it caused by an absence, or it was, you know, you could, any way you want to chop it up. But you for sure get faults in there. And you for sure get inhibit in there. Because that's where those ARC breaks live. And you start running heavy engrams, you'll find out sooner or later you're going to need zero. Also, somebody can be found holding on to a death. Now we're starting to run heavy stuff, see. Somebody runs a death. What's wrong with this death? Why is it in re-stimulation all the time? Well, you never find out who shot him. That was the ARC break. Never could find out who shot him. Bullet came out of nowhere. It was a beautiful day in spring, and he was sitting on the lawn of the Ladies' Aid Society building in Des Moines, Iowa. There he sat, and he was suddenly hit with a rocket blaster. Of cause a fellow to think for quite a while. He's liable to keep that engram in his hip pocket and look at it every once in a while, wondering if somewhere around the edges of it he hadn't gotten a picture of who shot him. Wrong place, wrong atmosphere, wrong mood, you see. And with an unknown in it. It's pretty certain. You see how you can do this? All right, what don't you understand about that scale? Why, what is there? Is there anything in it that you don't understand why it's there? I see you all frowning, but I don't see you cognizing on anything. It's just too formidable. Is that what's wrong with it? Or is it too, as I told you a little earlier, too nonsensically simple? It kind of strickens you with its simplicity, doesn't it? Well, I've been overshooting this confounded scale and overshooting it. I've had some of the fanciest examples of this scale you ever saw, and assessed with them, you know, and so on, and just assessed with them, man, and gone clear on down to the end of the list. And TA remains high, and the charge isn't on the list. That's how this scale was formulated. Total empiricism. What is it? What is it? What is the missing charge? What is the missing charge? And I knew it didn't have it. Well, I finally managed to get around and found out that we were not missing charge and so forth, so we obviously had it. And the last one on the list was F, false. And that is what a Thetan mostly objects to. And that is one of his heaviest buttons, a false communication. He himself feels guiltiest about uttering a false communication or abetting a false reality or a false attitude. Under this heading, you could say, well, we should have a line that says, was there a betrayal in this incident? You know, obviously, that agreed, but unfortunately, it doesn't respond, because a betrayal is actually just a falsity. Betrayal. There's a big sign that says, ice cream cones free inside. And so you walk inside, and there's this cage drops down, and the machinery grinds. Well, what on earth is every theta trap on the track but a false representation? Falsity. It's the one thing that aberrates a person, because his level of trust with the physical universe drops, you see. He can't trust the very reality he's looking at. In some way, it's been falsified. And so he begins to ARC break with the stuff. So that was a key button. And the funny part of it is, I expressed that one time as twisted or perverted. And you know, it didn't assess, didn't communicate. Didn't even vaguely communicate. Perverted communication. Twisted communication. Altered communication. These things just didn't communicate. Until I finally got down to a false communication. Man, you'll find out, I think, that communicates. The PC you assess this on, or the PC that you run this process on, naturally, here and there, has to get a reinterpretation. You say, missed withhold. Well, that communicates to thee and me, but does it communicate to the PC you're running, don't you think? You say there's something you were holding back. Was there a kept secret? That kind of thing. Was there a kept secret in the incident? But it's actually senseless to give you all possible wordings of all possible questions. See, that's senseless, because that you can't work with. All possible wordings of all possible questions is just a gobbledygook. One ARC break, you assess a dictionary. One of these Webster dictionaries, you know. Complete with obsolete words. Now, therefore, I've given you the basic formula of assessment. And that formula of assessment is you take each level of the old CDEI scale, now expanded to KUCDEI 0F. each element of that, and you move it over here into that. Now, actually, each level only has six. But if you put them on different cards, you have to add your missed withhold in the incident, missed withhold earlier, which gives you a basic list of eight. Your basic list of eight, you must never get less than eight. And by putting that over, you can do all sorts of things. You can pre-assess, you can bobtail the number of levels you're going to have. You can do this and that, but still, the least I can do is give you the absolute complete list. So for each one of the KU, CDEI, 0, and F, we have the possibility of affinity, reality, communication, and missed withhold in the incident, and then an affinity, reality, communication, missed withhold in earlier incidents or earlier charge, something like that. You can make up one of the fanciest little wheels you ever wanted to see. I imagine you can take this particular schema of some kind or another and you can draw up dozens of different systems by which this can be used. And you can certainly draw up dozens of different wordings. For instance, you write away, you're up against that A, attitude. Was there a tone scale? I don't communicate, see, but that's what we mean. Affinity. Person says affinity. Well, it must mean love. You know, bang. You know. But those semantics for your delivery to the PC. So one of your basic breakdowns is you say attitude, and then you also say emotion. Now, you realize you could break that down further and put effort in there. You realize that the whole note of mystery scale can go under A. I hope you recognize that. Okay? The whole note of mystery scale. And they're all part of that A. So you could have symbols and so forth. You could get mighty fancy. You just substitute it for that. And you start getting that fancy, however, you sure better develop a system of pre-assessment to get it all sorted out. Now, I have one correction to make in R2H. I have led you to believe, erroneously perhaps, that the best system was to clean every level. That is, in actual fact, the easiest to audit system, which gives you the least dirty needle and does not necessarily release the most charge from the case. And I thought I'd better give you a slight addendum to that. Because if you can skitter down a list rapidly and pick out the major charge, the biggest read off of that list, and bang that back at the PC, you're getting more tone arm action per minute of auditing time, you see. Which gives you then, if it can be done, the best system. That doesn't necessarily say that it is the most doable system. You got that? Now, some PC who drags the bypass charge through the remainder of the list, every time you touch any charge at all, you get into endless difficulty if you try to assess the whole list and take the biggest read and give him that and have him explain that in full with the IPSA line in full, see? That gives you the most tone arm action per minute of auditing time, see? Obviously, because you get the blowdown right now and so forth. But if you run into too much difficulty doing that, and an auditor who's having difficulty at all with PC, or a PC who's having difficulties coping, a needle that is hard to read, a meter that is hard to read, and all these things are quite usual in auditing, you see, you treat it like end rudiments. Treat it like end rudiments and clean it up all the way down. But in any event, no matter what system you use, you have to be satisfied. Now, there's a liability to treating it with end rudiments that I must inform you of. I say this is the easiest for the auditor to do and is very often the most easy and comfortable on the PC, because the PC is, after all, sitting there all during the rest of the assessment. By the time you bypass the bypass charge, the PC maybe almost have steam coming out of his ears, you see? as you go down this list, You can, by treating it like end rudiments, this has a liability, destroy the major reed because you've bled the charge of reed already, and all you get is a slight hump of the needle as you go past this thing. You don't get the major charge that is going to give you the blowdown reading with a good sharp thing. You don't get that. Instead of that, it now, when you meet up with it, simply puts a hump on the needle. See, because if you took it without bleeding the ARC break of any charge, the ARC break's got enough charge in it to give you a good sharp read. But if you bleed that ARC break down by taking every tick of it off, why, you're liable to get to a situation where the meter's very difficult to read because it's just a slow or a speed will become the major charge. So if you're going to do this rudiment system all the way down like rudiments, then you also have to take those slows and speeds. So it gives you a new problem in reading the meter in return for having solved your dirty needle. You get a new problem. There are many ways by which to do this. The way that gives you the most tone arm action that you can run, that the PC will sit still for, is the way to use. Obvious, that's the way to use. Now, if you've got a pre-assessment on this particular list, and you can pre-assess and move right in on the hard charge, see, that is the list. Bang, it's rather brief assessment, don't you see? And therefore it goes pow, see? You just take your, go right on down the line, get your biggest read, bow, and you say, that's it, what is it? And the PC has to figure it out and give you the its on it and be perfectly satisfied with it. And you'll see that tone arm go pow, and down she'll come. You're all satisfied with that when that ARC break doesn't read on the meter. Up goes your next one. We call an ARC break. Your tone arm starts up with the what's it line, and do your assessment. Get, of course, your what was it, where was it, when was it. Get your assessment in on it. Get that charge, and you'll see that tone arm, pow, it'll come down again as soon as the PC picks it up. And you'll get a tone arm which is moving, getting looser and looser and looser if you do it that particular way. Too shortened a list, too abbreviated, so as to miss the principal charge, leaves you with a high TA. In actual fact, what happens is charge moves the time wrong in an incident. The incident is all charged up because of something that happened in 1912. So the charge of the incident is in 1912, the incident is in 1920. Wrong date. Now, if your list one does not specify that charge, you, of course, are going to miss the 1912 charge, and the incident will continue to look to the PC like 1912. It's very interesting. Your TA will get higher and higher and get stickier and stickier, and the thing will eventually go over the moon. And you'll have it riding up here at 525, and R2H is working less and less well, no matter what you do. Well, actually, you're restimulating charge, which you aren't picking up, and the inevitable fact when you do that is the PC will get harder and harder to audit, and eventually you'll ARC break, just on the diagrams I gave you concerning the ITSA, the what's it and ITSA line. I want to make one little more remark to you. That's all there is about that. I hope you can evolve one of the things, okay? I want to make one other remark to you. I thought of a process. This is just research. I thought of a process by which you could possibly see a tone arm pump at your will. See? You could probably see it go. You say, recall a worry. See, what's it? Because a worry is obviously what's it? Like crazy. See? Recall a worry. What was it about? Recall a worry. What was it about? Recall a worry. What was it about? You'll just see, you'll be able to drill your tone arm up and down on a PC with that particular type of process. It's not particularly therapeutic. I just show you, here's a way to make a tone arm actually work for you, so you would see the what's it, it's a line in complete operation, providing you let the PC tell you what it was about. Now I can show you how to get a tone arm high and keep it there. Recall a worry, recall a worry, recall a worry, recall a worry, recall a worry. That's all right, don't bother to tell me what it is. Recall a worry. The other thing you're going to worry about, and I already had some questions on it, you've probably audited a PC one time or another that got very good tone arm action but didn't get any better. This is a possibility that you may have run into. Let me call to your attention something that in that bulletin that came out there is tone arm action, if present, will take the PC eventually to OT. But let me point out the word eventually, and even later in that bulletin it says even if it takes thousands of years, you understand? Understand. You're at least getting somewhere if you have tone arm action. The only point you're putting across. Well, what is the expectancy? Well, that's pretty long. You have to run the right significances. Very often, you got a PC who was getting tone arm action all right, tone arm pumping around. You may have changed the process right in the middle of the tone arm action. See? Well, now you've got a whole bunch of new charge without blowing the old charge. And the PC is going to go on feeling very uncomfortable while getting better. Charge is coming off, don't you see? But the specific thing that you were after didn't happen with the PC. The way to analyze something like that is, what did you consider better? And how long did you just sit there and let the tone arm waggle without chipping off new charge and throwing it into restimulation on the case? Of course, the case was getting better, but a case can get better comfortably, and a case can get better very uncomfortably. And a case can get better insufferably bad off. That's right. You start running screen implants, stuff that's been restimulated on these screens in the between life area. You see, you got a tremendous quantity of track back to the last date that has never been restimulated by the screens. More modern stuff is not screen restimulated. You get back earlier and you run into a span where you've got screen restimulated engrams. Oh my God, they've been restimulated every 60 or 70 years, don't you see, for the last 10,000 or something like that. Every time you died, you got that particular set of engrams beautifully, gorgeously steamed up. And man, you get in and you start to run them today. You get tone arm action, but you just wish that you just hadn't started it the first. Why not just go up through the between lives area again and get it all over with? You're getting tone arm action. But getting better is not how the PC feels. See? It's whether he's making more progress to more knowingness and more ability. Also, his current state in auditing is not a measure of his getting better. He can have a beautiful memory, hit the between lives area, and his memory goes blop. He's getting better. He can't remember a thing. But he is closer to being able to remember everything. You understand? So you can put certain things into restimulation in a case that bring about temporary conditions on the case. And they're pretty ghastly sometimes, and sometimes they're not well taken care of, and they stay that way for quite a while, and then one day they all blow out. You've got to review a case over a period of the 30 days. You've got to review a case at least over the period of an intensive, or the period of 30 days, or something like that. I had an example of that the other day. I was thinking about organizations and Dianetics and Scientology. Matter of fact, I was giving an auditing session and a bunch of data was coming up that spanned that period. And you know, I was absolutely amazed. I had never taken a look between the improvement of 1951 and 1963 and its interim states. You know, I mean, just you know. What were we doing then? What were the organizations like then? What were our communications like then? Wow, you know. I thought, good heavens, at this rate of speed, we're going to take this planet over practically tomorrow. It's true, too. We are. Thank you very much.